We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
It's Tuesday, January 25th. I'm Jeff Schwartz alongside Gabe Gewin. This is Jeff Schwartz of Smart on You, powered by the Varsity Podcast Network. Good googly moogly, Gabe. What a weekend of football. My Chiefs won. Your dreams came true. Thomas Brady's out of the playoffs, and we have so much to talk about. What a weekend. Four games ended on the final play of the game. Three with field goals, one with a walk-off touchdown by the Kansas City Chiefs. I've been like wandering around the house today, like I don't know what to do. I don't know, man. What a treat the National Football League has given.
It's so incredible what we all just lived through for two straight days, uninterrupted. Everybody who I care about got what they wanted, and everyone who I wanted to see eat it ate it so hard. The only people who I feel a little bit bad for right now are Bills fans. But Bills fans, you're used to this by now. If you're my age, at least.
This one's hard because I said this, and I believe it. I've obviously been up and down on Josh Allen, man. He was fabulous. I mean, and you would think with 13 seconds left, you have won the game. And I think both teams, Chiefs and Bills, before the game felt very strong. If we win this game, we will go beat the Bengals and we'll go to the Super Bowl and probably be the favorites for the Super Bowl. The Chiefs would be the favorite over the Rams and Niners as of now. And it's like it then just evaporated right away. So I feel very bad for Bills fans. Who else do you feel bad for?
Oh, I mean, that's it. My list ends there. That's it. I want to celebrate and bask in all the other hell that other people went through. It's going to be fun. Let's start, though, with that last game. And obviously, it was the Pat story at the end, and you're going to have a lot to say about it. Here's the only way I can set this up, Jeff, since our show is about taking some of the crazier, more out there, less informed takes and having you sort of rip them to shreds. I don't know if that's necessary with this one. Here's the take everyone has been saying. Why the hell did McDermott kick it away to Pat with 13 seconds on the clock? 13 seconds is now too much time for Pat Mahomes. I mean, what the hell? I don't know how anyone could blame the Bills for anything, but people are somehow.
So there's lots of coaching things actually in the game worth exploring because the game ended so crazy that we're not going to probably get to that. Maybe we will in our discussion today. But, you know, so they score 13 seconds left, and you have to think the Chiefs have got three timeouts left, I believe, two or three at least. And you want to obviously, your clock is your friend, even with the Chiefs timeouts. And if you, Gabe, I wouldn't even say squib the ball. You kick the ball to like the five. You make them return. Now, they could fair catch it. Certainly can do that. And that obviously would have eliminated that. Squib kick guarantees at least 1 second off the clock, right? Catch the ball, take a knee. It guarantees 1 second off the clock. Obviously, with a squib, maybe the ball's in front of the 25-yard line. Maybe it's not. But the goal is to kill the time, right? Is to take the time down. That's a goal for the Bills. And it's possible they were afraid of the return power because we saw Tyreek Hill return that punt a couple possessions before that. But that squib obviously allowed Pat Mahomes the opportunity to move down the field. Now, the Bills' defense, number one defense in the NFL, inexcusable the way they played that, right? I mean, after the first play, I would have been like, okay, the Chiefs have practiced this. And it's very important, okay? This is a very important point. Teams practice these plays all season long. If you notice, the Chiefs look like they knew what they were doing. And like the Cowboys 2 weeks ago, oh, we're going to run a QB sneak, a QB draw. The Chiefs knew exactly what they were doing, right? They knew exactly, and they practiced, and Coach Reed talked about this after the game. Eric Bieniemy's job, and I've talked about this many times, is that in Andy Reid's offense, every position coach has a job of the game plan. And Eric Bieniemy's, part of his jobs was end-of-game situations. So he has to prepare the team for these spots. They've been running these plays each week of the season on Friday. Each week, Gabe. And it just so happened, this was the game they needed it. They ran the plays and it worked. And now it came out afterwards too, that on the final play, the Kelce throw, that Kelce ran a different route. He told Pat beforehand, hey, if they play in this coverage, I'm going to go up the seam. And then you could hear Pat Mahomes say, do it on the field to Kelce. He said, do it, Kelce. And boom, he went up the seam. And what's funny is the Bills got pressure on that play. They actually hit Mahomes. The right guard busted on his assignment. And nonetheless, I mean, he went 25 yards untouched. And then Bucker kicked it, and then obviously overtime. We're not doing the overtime discussion here. I think overtime is fine. We're not doing it. If you want to yell about it, it's like politics, right? You have your one belief. No matter how much I yell at you through this podcast, you're not going to change your mind. I'm not going to do it. The Buffalo non-squib kick and Mahomes' ability to be the Grim Reaper. I really hope Andy Reid told him that. Do you think Andy Reid did? Be the Grim Reaper. Did you see that quote?
Well, I know that there are some wonderful quotes floating out there, and some of them are too crazy to be true. So I've not known where Twitter began and ended on this.
But it really covered up for a game the Chiefs. It would have been a signature 2021 game. Mistakes, right? Self-inflicted wounds that caused them to lose the game. Defensively, how many blown assignments are we going to have on defense? Especially at the end of the game, right? They come down, they let Buffalo score before the end of the first half in 75 seconds. Then they missed a field goal. They let Buffalo 4th and 13, wide open, no resistance. Then later on the next drive, touchdown, 13 seconds left, no resistance. And really, the worst of it all was that 3rd and 1 speed option with the tight end. And so this covered up all the Chiefs' errors. Now, Buffalo had them as well. They should have gone 4th and 4th down more often. Like, as a Chiefs fan, Gabe, every time they punted, I was thrilled. I'm like, thank God they're punting. That's how well this offense for Buffalo played. And so in the end, I mean, it. Mahomes has been the starter for 4 years now. It's his fourth time hosting the AFC Championship game, Gabe. The fourth time. Twice as a one seed and twice as a two seed. So they had not always with the bye. It was this the first year, I guess, without the bye. But 1 year without home field advantage was your Tennessee beat New England in 2019. So, dude, unbelievable. I can't think of another game that was like that. It was back. It was
okay,
great.
So I want to take you through a few more points on this. So first of all, there's reason for Josh Allen and Gabriel Davis to have believed that they won the game twice inside the final 2 minutes. They had like unbelievable go-ahead touchdowns. And
yes,
unfortunately, Patrick Mahomes, Tyreek Hill, and Travis Kelce are just even better than that.
It might be fair to say that Mahomes, Kelce, and Hill together are the best combination of quarterback, wide receiver, and tight end in NFL history on one team. It's hard to disagree.
Today, it would be ridiculous to try to outthink that. That seems like a very obvious statement today.
It's a different game than was played, obviously, in different generations. So you can't, like, Tyreek Hill is not going to get free releases and be not, you know, obviously. But, dude, The touchdown he scored on that one, did you see the picture of when he caught the ball? I mean, there were like seven defenders right there.
Yeah, dude.
It was cover two. It wasn't like they were man cover. It was cover two. He ran by everything. He gave him the deuces. I sent you the tweet. Hey, one guy's in the background celebrating. A wide receiver is 45 yards down the field. And it's Pringle dancing on the field. Tyreek Hill's still 20 yards away from the end zone. It was
he was taunting before he got past the guy he knew he was going to just speed past. There's another one we probably don't need to discuss on this show. Taunting. Call it consistently.
Yeah, please stop. Please, no one cares. No. So Tom Brady cussed at the official. I got that confirmed. I know what he said. He said the F word. Okay? Like, who cares? Who cares, referee? Don't flag him for that. Like, he's just yelling at you, man. We yell at you. I've been cussed at by officials, too. You don't see me whining about it? Like, just let it go.
Yeah.
Oh, no. This is all right. Silly.
So let's talk about Tyreek Hill for a second. Not only does he have the unbelievable touchdown, the punt return. I mean, it was like video game stuff. He made three guys miss and like smash into each other to get them the extra yards they needed. In like, there were like seven different series that felt like the game winner. One of them is set up by that moment. Like, he just has another gear, right? If you just say, hey man, like to me, here's a really simplified takeaway from the game. At the end of the day, for all the coaching, and I understand that you want to give Andy Reid credit and maybe not even knock Sean McDermott. But at the end of the day, the most athletic guys on the field did freakish things to win the game. That's just all that happened.
Yeah. Look, of course, you have to draft those guys, develop them, and get them in your system. And look, the reason why Tyreek Hill doesn't return all the punts is because he's full-time on offense. But in a game like this, you say, all right, like Deebo Samuel for the Niners, he's not the normal returner. But he in this playoff game, he was a bunch of times. Like, you just put your playmakers back there. And Deebo, I think, had a great return in that game as well, right? That game feels like a lifetime ago on Saturday night. So you put your best guys in the situations to succeed, and they do. And that drive right there, man, if a Chiefs fan, that must have pissed you off, because this game could have not been that close, right? You have first and 10, about, the 27, 30-yard line. They ran the ball three times, and you've kicked a field goal. It's like, oh, what are we doing? That should have put the game away right there. You would have been up, 9 points with... So Bills had two possessions to beat you, and you hadn't been stopped all game. It was just the most awesome night of football. I'm on Twitter right now, and someone is doing a Zapruder film of the referee. Basically, he's framing the coin in a way that it would fall on the Chiefs on heads.
Okay, well, that's where we are now, that the coin toss was
That's
rigged.
What we're doing, yeah. Our buddy
Colin Cowherd, we reference from time to time on this show, had a pretty good take today, and I think you'll agree, but I don't know. This is another take I needed to straighten out. So his summary is basically Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes are a perfect fit because even a superstar, an undeniable talent like Pat, needs to be coached, right? Jordan had Phil, and Pat Mahomes is a rare coachable superstar. Do you buy that? Is that the right explanation of why they're so good?
I think there's many reasons why they're good. I do think Mahomes is everything I've heard about him, down to earth. He's obviously a family guy. If you go, like, you see Instagram or Twitter, right? He's with his wife and kids, not going out, not partying, which, again, most quarterbacks don't do that. That's kind of a stereotype, right, of some quarterbacks. But he's just humble, down to earth, wants to win, wants to work hard, willing to work hard, does work hard. I think the combination of Andy Reid's offensive mind has unlocked Mahomes' potential. But also, Mahomes has made Andy Reid a different coach, more aggressive, more down the field passing, which they did not do very often until 2017 with Alex Smith. And he's covered up some of the coaching mistakes he's made, like yesterday, by being really good. So they benefited each other game, I think, right? Again, Andy Reid adapted his offense for him. Mahomes got Andy Reid to be more aggressive. And that partnership, and again, I'm going to go back to the Kelce and Mahomes thing again, because my brother has talked about this before. Obviously, I was not there with Mahomes. I was there with Kelce when he was very young. They do things on the field that are not in the playbook. And of course, that last play was one of them. That's not coached, obviously, right? Mm-hmm. That's just a trust and belief. And those guys are best friends of what's happening on the field. And so there are times where you see a play on the field, you're like, oh, wow, great design. That might just be Travis Kelce doing his own thing, and Mahomes finds him in the open part of the field. And so that's a bond you obviously can't do with coaching, but you need the structure of the offense to create that bond, right? Because there has to be a little bit of, okay, we're running these plays over and over again. Okay, if we run this play for the 18th time, you know, like in the last 2 days of practice, okay, this time, if I see this, I'm going to do this, right? And so you can't do that unless you have a firm belief in what you're doing on your offense. Then you can make some of the ad-lib plays. So I think that Andy Reid was waiting for Mahomes to get him into this more aggressive mindset. And then Mahomes needed someone like Andy who, and on top of this, I've said this many times, man, what sets Andy Reid apart from other coaches, obviously the mind and the way he coaches games and whatnot, is he is very, he's like what you'd want in a coach, in my opinion. He is hard. He's tough, man. Like, you tough practices. We're going to practice the right way. But then after that, we're just going to, like, we're done. We're done practicing. Like, we don't need to be this. I remember on teams I've been on, man, you have a tough practice in the morning. This is after 2 days are over with, after the CBA. You'd have a tough practice in the morning, and then your walkthrough would be just like a full-speed practice again. You're like, that's a walkthrough. Andy was like, walkthrough. We're doing a walkthrough. You give me everything you have on the field, we're going to do a walkthrough. The team meetings are very short. But then also he has this personality where he says to us all the time, like, just be yourself, right? Show your personalities. Like, go out there and play. And he doesn't constrain Pat Mahomes, right? Doesn't make Pat Mahomes kind of be this robot that Belichick wanted Brady to be for a long time, right? I think this, all those things, like the personality of what Andy Reid can bring out of Pat Mahomes, because Andy Reid himself is a fun, I mean, talk about chocolate cake and cheeseburgers and be the Grim Reaper. And like, you see him in the locker room in the post game, he's like, it's like, gosh darn it, what a win. Like, just like, he's like a fun guy to be around. And I think his personality, his ability to just let the players, again, he's a tough coach, man. He wants physicality, toughness, all that stuff. But then he lets the players be themselves a little bit. And then the combination of walking that fine line between discipline, toughness, but also, hey, guys, have some fun. Enjoy football. It's meant to be fun. Be yourself. We drafted you. We brought you in here to be yourself. That's so important, I think, to what Pat Mahomes and why that works. Because look, Kelce too, right? Kelce had TV show. He's got his big personality, right? Dancing on the field. Tyreek Hill, all these guys. Andy Reid does not care. As long as you win, man. As long as that helps us win, you don't get a penalty for it, be my guest.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I agree, of course. That all makes sense from hearing you describe it for the last couple of seasons. It's also probably why Kelce and Mahomes feel confident enough to throw out the play in the most important play of the season and just do what feels right and know that even if it didn't work out, coach wasn't going to throw them under the bus, you know, create problems for them. They had the freedom to do that because it made sense on the field. I want to ask you something. Our other buddy at Fox, Nick Wright, maybe the only person more obsessed with the Chiefs than you these days. He's lost his mind talking about the Chiefs. And one thing he's been saying that started out crazy, but is starting to maybe convince me. He has this take that playing in the wild card round is better than a bye, right? that having had the week off would have put some rust on the Chiefs. And by the way, there's some evidence now. The Bengals beat the Titans on a bye, and the Niners beat the Packers off a bye. So you tell me, like, is there any merit to the notion that the Chiefs were better off playing an extra game?
Well, this is the first time that the one season ever lost in the divisional round.
Both.
Ever. So that, I guess, maybe one outlier year. It's the first time, I think, since 1992 or something. I hear some random number where we're not going to have a team with a bye in the Super Bowl at all, a one or two seed. It does matter. I think the Titans, I don't think, were very good. We talked about this with their fishing numbers. You're like, oh, the fishing numbers aren't very good. Okay, well, all right, then it showed, right? Weren't very good. And so that was, you know, that showed. And then look, the Packers just played a Packers game in the playoffs, right? I mean, there's not much more to that, right? Game. So I think that the Chiefs would have been fine with a bye. I think Nick also just is making fun of the Steelers too. Yes. This hashtag better than bye. Look, the bye, obviously, you prevent injuries, you get healthy, you get right. And Andy Reid, though, is great off a bye. The Chiefs have been fine off a bye.
Right. Fair enough. Look how long it's been to get into this show before I bring up what I'm about to bring up. And by the way, we still We're not going to get to Aaron Rodgers till the third topic. If I had told you on Saturday night, while Twitter exploded, that Aaron Rodgers would be the third topic on our show on Monday, you never would have believed me, would you?
No, I wouldn't have. And we shouldn't lose sight of that embarrassing, pathetic performance by the Packers offense.
Well, before we get to that embarrassing, pathetic performance, let's just spend a minute enjoying something I did not see coming. So despite every force in the universe pulling for Tom Brady, after he let his team go down 27-3, then everything out there, call it God, call it the devil, call it whatever you want, started forcing turnovers from the Rams. They were missing field goals. There were penalties. An insane review on fourth and short, giving Tom Brady the extra minute he needed to run a touchdown play. All of these things happened for Tom Brady, and yet January 23rd, 2022 will be remembered as the day the world had to admit that Tom Brady ain't it anymore. Cooper Kupp, you beautiful bastard, you did it for us. Matthew Stafford, thank you. Tom Brady is gone and maybe never to be seen again.
Yes, you are very happy about this. Tom Brady did lose. I was wrong about Matt Stafford. Matt Stafford has had two great games in a row. Maybe the two best games of his career. He's played great. Yes, Cam Akers tried to give it away. Dude, it was the Rams were -2 in turnover margin on the road in a playoff game against Tom Brady and won the game. That is very, very rare. So for those who missed it, Rams up 27-3. They could not protect Tom Brady. And the right tackle was out for the Bucs. More than anything, Gabe, the left tackle, Donovan Smith, didn't play well. Like that wasn't even the right tackle. It was the two tackles played very bad. No rhythm in the offense. And all of a sudden it was like turnover, touchdown, turnover, touchdown. The Rams got very, very tight in that game. Very tight in the game. And then on the game-winning throw to Cooper Kupp, the Bucs busted an assignment. They missed it afterwards. Not everyone got the call, which again was silly. I don't know why you run cover zero anyways in that situation, leave one-on-one with Kupp. But the Rams took advantage of that. And again, I'm just not sold on Matt Stafford still. I don't know what it's going to take, buddy. I don't know what it's going to take. But yes, your Tom Brady obsession can wait till next season again when he's back.
It would So you're telling me he's coming back, even though we're going to have to pretend all offseason that we're not sure so that all the other shows have something to talk about, right?
I think he's coming back. Yeah, I don't think he's
even though that roster, which was perfectly curated just to his liking. They played with their numbers. They got him everything he needed. They bowed down to him and gave him Antonio Brown and all this stuff they did to try to make Tom Brady happy. It's hard to do it over and over again. You really think they can give him the team he needs next year?
Well, I guess that's part of the equation, right? Is can they give him what he wants? And he might not know that till they get into free agency, which by that point you would rather, you know, the team should know whether he's not here staying. Also, is Bruce Arians going to stay as a head coach? He just looks like he doesn't enjoy games very much. He's just on the sideline.
Because he's not in charge. Because Tom Brady's in charge of the team.
I know. I just think Tom continues to stay. I don't know why he would retire right now.
Well, I could think of plenty of reasons. But yeah, I think we agree. He's probably not actually gone forever. Do you really believe that even after that performance that you can't see the Rams making a Super Bowl? I mean, like, they're a game away now.
Yeah. They can make the Super Bowl. They're playing the Niners, who they're favored at home against.
Yeah, well, I don't know if home makes a whole lot of difference for them, but they are favored.
It's going to be a very – I saw the Rams are doing a thing where, like, you can't sell your tickets to someone outside of 100 miles of SoFi or something like that. Dude, it's going to be a 50-50 or more Niners crowd. Oh. It's going to be packed with Niners fans.
No question.
You're not from L.A. You live in L.A. I'm from L.A. There are no Rams fans. I don't know a single Rams fan in Los Angeles. They're like an actual, like, born and bred Rams. Now, they were there when I was a kid. I was a Niners fan. Everyone I knew was Raiders, Niners. There's going to be so many freaking Niners fans. Now, they might be priced out. It's a very expensive ticket. But I know a lot of people that are going to go as Niners fans are trying to go to that game. It's not going to be a Rams home game. Well,
here's what I know. Generalization about two fan bases. People who root for the 49ers have a lot of money. Whichever people might actually root for the Rams in Los Angeles may or may not have money. So there's going to be a lot of Niners fans willing to pay a whole lot of money to come down here. Let me go back to Brady for a second because I have to revel in this for a little bit longer.
Yeah,
I hear a lot of people, including my buddy Skip Bayless, work very, very hard, earning those paychecks on Sunday and Monday, creating a number of excuses for Tom Brady. Things like the line, you mentioned it. Things like he didn't have enough of his weapons. Scotty Miller had to play. Like, I don't know, Scotty Miller looked pretty good a year ago when they needed him. He still had Gronk. He still had Mike Evans, who looked like the best receiver in the league yesterday, at times at least. Like, why so many excuses? Can't he just lose a game every now and then? He kind of sucked the whole first half.
Yeah, he wasn't that good at certain times. I mean, he missed open wide receivers. He threw a bad reception to Gronk right
there. Yeah, kind of into the triple coverage, forcing it to his guy.
Well, it wasn't quite that. It was a too high. They tried to get a too high beater, kind of that smash route where you run the corner, and he just lofted the ball up. It was a little bit late. Safety came over, made a play. He wasn't great. And, of course, look, people will make excuses for him because of how good he is and how we've seen him when everything is right. But the game is moving to what Pat Mahomes and Josh Allen can do, right? Which is, okay, Joe Burrow, right? Sacked nine times.
Nine times.
Okay, fine. It breaks down. I'm going to make a play on my own. Now, obviously, Tom Brady's elite ability pre-snap is what has got him this far. But you're right. I mean, the Chiefs, Bills, Bengals, Chargers can all succeed with one offensive lineman out. Like, it shouldn't be that big of a deal for 10. Now, again, the problem was it wasn't just the right tackle that got beat. The left tackle got beat a lot. And that's what makes Aaron Donald, by the way, so special. Aaron Donald said, you know what? I can't beat these three inside guys. I'm going to go rush the right tackle and left tackle. I'm going to beat both of them. No one else besides J.J. Watt can really do that in the NFL. So, yeah, there's no excuses. He didn't play well for three quarters, and he'll have to live with that this offseason.
Great. And just to go on this point, I was told by all these people that, oh, look at what Tom Brady can do. Look at this patchwork team. Look at him turning so-and-so receiver in New England into an all-pro. Look at how he does it. He just works with whatever they give him. Oh, he can overcome all obstacles. That's what we're told when we want to build up the legend of Tom Brady. But as soon as he loses, it's, well, he didn't have enough pieces. What was he supposed to do? Thank you, Matt Gay, for saving us from the Bloody Lip Game documentary. Good line, Hank. You, a kicker, who I have to admit, did bring me joy this weekend. You saved us all. Kickers had a hell of a weekend, Jeff. I've been wrong about them. I shouldn't have been slandering kickers on your show.
I thought about you. I mean, three walk-off kicks by the road team, by the way. I mean, the Chiefs saved NFL history. I mean, I'm not sure three road teams ever won division run anyways. That would have been a sweep of the road teams in the divisional round. You look, I like watching Tom Brady play. I know you don't. I like watching the best play. It wasn't his best game. I think he'll tell you that. Yeah, he's at the point where if things aren't perfect, it's tough to win. No Antonio Brown, obviously. No Godwin. No Tristan Wirfs. You know, Gronk looked a bit slower, a little bit than usual. There was no sense of urgency either, right? Like, didn't we see, I just felt like Tampa Bay came out really slow.
Yeah, well, they went down 27-3. I mean, the game was over. If Tom Brady wasn't the quarterback of that team, not even the broadcasters would have tried to convince us to stick around. Man, Collinsworth, that dude was working. The graphics team was working to try to get us to give a crap about that game early in the second half. But then, lo and behold, like we said, the Rams did everything they could to allow Tom Brady back into that. The refs did their part, too. What was with the hey, hold on, we want to double check the snap as Tom Brady's trying to snap it on fourth and short? What was with that official review?
Well, the Rams called timeout, so they had time to review it, which actually might have...
Because he was going to run the play without the review.
Right, he was running a different play. He was being shotgun on fourth down. The Rams actually kind of screwed themselves by calling timeout.
So it wasn't the refs. I'll get out of my...
Well, no, the refs... They moved the ball up like half a yard. It was a bad spot. They put the ball up at the 9. Should have been closer to the 8. But the Rams called timeout. That's why the review happened.
Oh, fair enough. Well, listen. The only, I guess, Twitter really feels the way about this next guy the way I feel about Tom Brady. Because when Aaron Rodgers lost that game, and it wasn't clear he was going to lose all the way through Saturday night, but when the final, you know, gun blasted and Aaron Rodgers was a loser at home at Lambeau, boy, oh boy, did Twitter lose its mind. I mean, Jeff, it was out of control. I was enjoying the humor. I don't agree with every take that I saw, but man, it was a fun night to celebrate. Jeff, did you have any particularly fun memes or jokes about Aaron Rodgers on Saturday night?
So I put out a tweet. I said, give me your best Rodgers jokes. Cause I just want to put them all together because, I needed to get them all from, I have a radio show and we do a segment called Savage or Stupid, but I saw what Aaron Rodgers should have done more of his own research on the 49ers defense. Aaron Rodgers and the Packers can still make it to the Super Bowl if Mike Pence has enough courage.
That's ridiculous.
It's a pretty good one. Everyone says San Francisco won, but I'm going to do my own research. Everyone stop making fun of Aaron Rodgers. He hates being needled. Did the Packers win? Yeah, we never trailed in regulation. I mean, he brought this, we all thought Rodgers had a shot, which has happened before.
Here's the one I like, Jeff. That people were putting together nicknames for him. I'm not going to read them all. In fact, some of them are too ridiculous. But Throw Rogan got me.
Throw Rogan. Throw Rogan, yeah. Throw Rogan. There was some other ones that were, I didn't think were pretty good. But, dude, deserves all of it, right? I mean, when you are – and again, agree or disagree with his takes, when – you put yourself out there, things you've said, this is coming back on you in any direction. And I've been told, I was talking to one of his former teammates today about him. He goes, this is never what he was. He's like, this is new for him. This is not, he said he was a critical thinker. We always had great conversations, but this kind of like turned to the, I mean, he came out and basically was like, yeah, I'm not sure Biden's the president. Like, was it just buddy, what's going on now, man? He deserves all of it. Deserves all the smoke. He scored 10 points in this game. 3 points after the opening drive. Against a Niners secondary that is not very good right now. He let Jimmy Garoppolo beat him, man.
Yeah.
Like, the jokes are just, they're
well,
incredible.
One of the jokes I saw that is a segue to the football talk, Jeff, is, you know, the Niners famously passed on Aaron Rodgers. But they've gotten 4 wins against the Packers as a result of that. They keep on, the Niners have their number in the playoffs. Jimmy G might be the luckiest man on earth. He did not look good and he still got the W.
Another one, by the way. Congratulations to Jimmy Garoppolo on replacing Dr. Fauci's Aaron Rodgers' least favorite Italian.
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. Enough. Oh man, look. It's that simple. The Niners, man, physicality in the trenches and being well coached will always win. We've questioned Shanahan before, right? Because Shanahan had an up and down season. His record is about 500, a little bit over 500. But say what you want about him, man. They claw and battle and fight for every single yard, man. And yes, Jimmy Garoppolo, not great game, but he does enough in these games. He just does enough. Now, is that enough to beat the Rams? I don't know, man. The Rams are super talented. They're healthier. But you just can't, the Niners, you can't count them out, man. They won that game in all 3 phases, right? Now, only 6 offensive points. I get that. But when they needed it most, they drove down the field and blocked a punt for a touchdown, blocked a field goal. They just kept fighting and clawing and scratching. They showed a ton. Like the Packers, to me, it didn't feel like they had that same fight, right? Again, it's not. I don't think the Packers didn't play hard, but there was a fight in the Niners that that's what championship teams are. Now, again, I don't think they get through this weekend, and if they did, they would lose to the Chiefs most likely. But they have this quality about them that makes them fun to watch and root for.
Yeah, no, they were easy to root for on Saturday night, and it seemed like all of Twitter was. I mean, look. We have the whole offseason to talk about Aaron Rodgers and his future and where he's going to go and all of that. Since the Niners are still playing, I mean, is there something to be said, Jeff? And I'm going to mention a name I haven't mentioned in a long time. Don't roll your eyes. Is there something to be said for guys like Jimmy Garoppolo, guys like, yes, Tim Tebow, guys like maybe Joe Burrow? I'm putting them all in the same camp where I don't quite know why. But even when they don't have their best game, these dudes just win close ones. Like, why is that? There's got to be something about Jimmy Garoppolo that it isn't luck. It's got to be something else. Why do people play better around him? Debo was great when they needed him. Like, Jimmy didn't do anything.
Yeah. You know what's funny is that, like, a lot of times this is with Tom Brady, right?
We're yeah, Brady has this. Of course he does.
And but Brady doesn't, like, lose games for his team often. Garoppolo threw a terrible interception this game again. He tried to lose the game to Dallas a couple weeks ago. He's done it before. I really do think it's a strong belief in what they do, and that what they do wins a lot of games, and it does. And so there's never a panic when things don't go well, because they just know, hey man, we stick to the plan. It's worked before. We trust our coaches. We trust our players. Just keep swinging away. Just keep making plays. Keep making plays. And in the end, it'll work out for us. And it's because they built up a couple years now of a lot of winning, right? They went Super Bowl two years ago now. They won. It's not really Jimmy G in the situation, in my opinion. It's the belief of the coaching staff, and it's the belief of just the entire organization and how they're set up to win these type of
games.
Okay,
so then I'm going to compare him. Maybe some of the other names I mentioned weren't quite the right comparisons, but let me compare him to a name that you know and an organization you were a part of. Is the better comp for Jimmy G more like Eli Manning? There's enough of a system. There's enough faith in what we're there to do. There's enough trust that he can make a play if he has to, even if he screws a few things up. Is that who we should be thinking of him as?
It's a good point. I was listening to something podcast today that brought up, I think it was Bill Simmons, brought up the Giants. And the Niners remind him of the Giants team.
Me too.
The one that beat the Patriots because of the way they pass rush, running the football, offensive line, just kind of making enough plays. Yep. And then, you know, Eli and Jimmy right now. I think Eli's much better than Jimmy Garoppolo. But the point is, like, any given play, they might just have a bad throw. Now, Eli's made far bigger throws in his career than Jimmy Garoppolo has in big moments. I think it's unfair to compare him to Eli Manning. But I can see the comparison for the belief in the structure of the program and the belief in just keep doing what we practice. Just keep playing hard, rush the passer, run the football, beat people in the line of scrimmage, and a quarterback will make one or two throws a game. Now, Jimmy doesn't do that. If you ever noticed, he almost only completes the ball in between the hashes.
Yeah.
Or like in between the numbers.
I have noticed.
Like Eli's made plenty of throws, like the Manningham catch and the Super, like he's a much better quarterback. But I think that the comparison, it makes a lot of sense if you're trying to find a historical comp to Niners getting to the Super Bowl this season.
All right, fair enough. Then let me ask this and then we'll take a quick break. I was saying, foolishly, I think, are they going to pull a Saban and just yank Jimmy G when it just looked like they couldn't get anything going and go to Trey? Just put in Lance. And you know what? They didn't. And everyone kept talking about it. Maybe if this kind of weather, more run packages, maybe Lance. What do you think the chances are we see Trey Lance in any meaningful role against the Rams?
None. I don't know why he would do it now.
No, I don't either. I just the versatility. Then they'll have a question this offseason. What the hell are they supposed to do? Because I don't think they're going to be able to trade Jimmy G, which seemed like the plan, if he takes him to another Super Bowl. But let's preview the Super Bowl and the other teams.
No. They know he's gone after this year. Everyone knows it. Super Bowl or not, gone.
You really think Jimmy G stays hot, gets to the Super Bowl, maybe even wins a Super Bowl somehow, he's still gone?
I think yeah. Okay. I think maybe not if they win the Super Bowl, but I'm pretty sure if that's about the only outcome where he stays. Okay.
All right. Well, we have a chance to talk about the Super Bowl in a minute in our over-under game, moving the line. Also, some other silly questions involving, it's been a week or two since we mentioned him, Antonio Brown. He's back talking into microphones. It's coming. So let's move the line right after this.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, we're back. Jeff, bonus question in moving the line. I snuck this one past Hank, our producer. Whose family was more annoyed with them? Mine, when I lost my shit as the Rams beat Brady during nap time, or yours, when Pat and Kelsey connected way after bedtime, probably waking up your household?
So I was in the living room. My wife had just gotten back from a trip, and we were hanging out in the bedroom for a little bit. And no, I was watching football. It was none of that happening. So she had gone to bed. I just went in the family room. I switched once the Bills scored to go ahead 29-26. I left the bedroom to watch. I was like, I need to switch rooms. Yep. We're switching rooms. The switching room routine. Tyreek Hill goes down, immediately score touchdown. Great switching room, Schwartz. And then obviously the ending happened. I didn't make a noise. The only time I yell at sport when I watch sports is when Oregon plays Washington.
That's it, huh? Well, I went absolutely crazy, and my whole neighborhood could hear me. And it was surprising to my family because they were not aware that I am a Rams fan, because I'm not.
You're also not.
But, man, we were big Cooper Kupp fans on Sunday.
I saw the cute video of your kid. Cooper Kupp.
Yeah, he loves Cooper Kupp, man. He's enjoying saying Cooper Kupp. All right. Well, so Cooper Kupp and the Rams are the favorite in the NFC right now to get the Super Bowl. The Chiefs are the favorite over in the AFC. We haven't talked enough Bengals. We'll get to them in a second. So, Jeff, right now, over under 90% confidence, the Chiefs are winning the Super Bowl this season.
I feel pretty good about it. The Rams would be a very tough out.
Okay.
But I trust Mahomes over Stafford.
I don't see why you wouldn't. So you think Chiefs for sure. So let's talk Bengals. Over under 9.5 sacks the Chiefs will have on the Bengals. And is that going to be enough to stop Joe Burrow? Because 9 wasn't enough the last time.
So what's interesting about that is the Titans actually got less pressure than the Raiders did in the first game. All the pressure was a sack. Here's the thing about the Bengals. Joe Burrow's has been playing well. They only had 19 points on offense. They only had 26 against the Raiders. Like, their offense has not been that great in the playoffs. The reason why offensive line is so important, there's many reasons, but in the red zone, it's so important. The Bengals have had terrible luck from the high red zone, the 30 to the 21, and then the 20 to into the end zone. Not luck, but just had bad success, because offensive lines are even more important there. So with the safeties playing, you know, the field shrinks, right? You have 20, the 30 to the back of the end zone is 40 yards, right? Then it goes to 30 yards and 10, obviously. Okay. So that means that the passing lanes aren't quite there. So quarterbacks, you have to throw the ball quickly and sometimes have to hold on to the ball. If that's the case, the pass rush can get home, obviously. With their less confined space too, safeties can easily attach into the run game. So you have a good offensive line that knocks everyone off the ball, less of a concern. The Bengals don't have that right now. So I do fear in this game, it could get out of hand if the Bengals can't do much on offense. And again, the Chiefs' defense has got to be better. Hopefully Honey Badger's back. That'd be huge for them.
Okay, let me ask you this then. I don't want to rule out the Bengals yet. They've done some surprising things this season. Joe Burrow seems to just have it, whatever it is. So we can't count them out. But let's give them the loss for the hypothetical here. Do the Bengals seem to you, and I don't know their cap situation off the top of my head, but don't they seem to you like the place that some young ring chasers should try to go this offseason? Like, doesn't it seem like they should start to build a little bit of a super team, especially with some old linemen who want to win?
Yes. If you are a player kind of ring hunting, it feels like a place to be, because they're going to have the cap room because they're a very young team. Burrow has at least two more years on this deal. Now, obviously, after next year, they're probably talking about giving him a new deal very early, as soon as possible. You can structure the way Mahomes' deal is, where a lot of that money doesn't come in until kind of the core group is up. But there is some work to be done. Why is Hank putting my brother in there? Mitch is not going to the Bengals. What would Mitch go to the Bengals for? He didn't play this season for the Chiefs. He's not going to the Bengals. So, yes, but it's Cincinnati though. So I don't know how many players are going to feel like they want to go to play Cincinnati. My brother already has a ring, Hank. Why would he need another one?
So Jeff is now live explaining the behind-the-scenes chat with our producer, who's obviously trolling him, and Jeff, for some reason, is taking the bait. Mitch Schwartz is not coming out of pseudo-retirement to play for the Bengals, but what you're telling me is some guys like him should, because you got a better chance there than most places in the AFC. The Chiefs are going to be the favorite next year no matter what.
If you are a fan right now of about 25 other teams that don't have Mahomes, Allen, Herbert, Burrow, maybe Lamar Jackson, Rodgers, Brady that are leaving their places maybe, do you feel like you're ever going to win a championship?
No, I think two-thirds of the league is completely hopeless, including the one seed in the AFC. We never gave them a serious thought, and they were the one seed because they just don't have the quarterback, and that was pretty much evidence that quarterbacks matter. Let me ask you this. Antonio Brown is again talking into microphones, this time Brandon Marshall's podcast. So I want to know, over under 25% chance Antonio Brown joins the Ravens next season. He made it very clear that's where he would like to be.
Why would you do that for the Baltimore Ravens?
I have no earthly clue, also, except Lamar responded with an emoji that makes me think he's thinking about it.
He's not in charge of personnel. Also, by the way, Antonio Brown, if you're not done talking yet, we do interviews. Yeah. You're welcome to come on our show. If you're looking to talk a little bit more, you have an open invite. So, no, he's not going to Baltimore. They would never do that. No chance.
They would never do that?
No.
Is there any team dysfunctional enough to say, ah, and give it a shot?
Dallas.
Okay, probably. Dallas. Good answer. All right. Over under 40% chance we see Drew Brees and Sean Payton in the booth together next season. Ian Rappaport saying Sean Payton is not committed to returning to New Orleans next season.
Man, Drew Brees got skewered for that game he called against the Bengals Raiders.
It's not easy to just step into the booth, even if you're great at playing.
They say that Sean Payton has a deal with Fox Sports, so we'll be calling soon, I guess. I think he still coaches. Again, this is funny, right? Like, I thought Taysom Hill was his dude. Now he's going to bounce. Yeah. Your boy's in the prime of his career. You're just going to leave now after you left him all that with all that cap dysfunction? I think Sean Payton still coaches next year. I don't think that's a thing we should worry about.
Any chance? I'm out of date on my coaching hires here, so allow a stupid question in case I'm overlooking something more obvious. I thought Sean Payton a few years ago might go to the Giants and say, I want control of everything.
Yeah.
What about that?
Well, he's not going to control everything because the new GM is going to have control. Joe Shane is probably going to hire Brian Daboll. That's my guess, from Buffalo. Leslie Frazier. Maybe Brian Flores. There's a little bit of talk about that. He's from the area. But Sean, that time has passed for Sean Payton, I think, to be in New York.
Okay. And we heard rumors of Josh McCown being a coach, not a quarterback, a coach in Houston. You seem unconvinced by that.
Yeah, I don't know what the point of that would be.
Okay.
What's he gonna? How is that going to help you guys win?
Well, I don't know. Josh seems like a pretty smart dude.
It's the difference between being a smart dude and being a first-time coach as the head coach of an NFL team. It's not a baseball. It's not basketball. It's the NFL, man. There's a lot more involved with that. No chance.
Oh, okay. Another bonus one for you. Over under 25% chance, Jeff admits he got a little bit nervous with the flurry of transfer portal news coming out of Southern California this past weekend, including his own running back leaving Oregon to go to USC.
Oh, I'm not worried about Travis Dye leaving. Look, if USC is playing 7-on-7 tournament this year, Gabe, you guys are going to win a lot of football games. I just tell you that. No, the Dye thing is pretty interesting. So Travis Dye went from Oregon to USC. He led the Pac-12 last year in all-purpose yards. He only started, I think, 8 games because our starting running back, C.J. Verdell, who just announced today is going to the NFL, he was starting, and Dye took over in week 5 after C.J. Verdell got hurt against Stanford. This was really fascinating, Gabe, because the transfer portal was not designed for this, right? It wasn't supposed to be for starting guys to leave in this manner, which is fine. It is what it is. I'm not going to argue against it. But think about what he did, Gabe. He had a four-year career at Oregon where he was beloved, right? He worked his way up, became the starter. His brother is in the NFL, played linebacker at Oregon, Troy Dye, plays for the Vikings, I believe. Family's loved. Everyone likes Travis Dye. He just burned all that by going to USC. Like, he can't come back to Oregon anymore. He's now, when he gets drafted, if he does, which is unlikely, he's on the shorter side, smaller side, it's going to go down as USC running back Travis Dye.
Okay.
Like, the 4 years at Oregon, is that worth it to go win 8 or 9 games? I looked up the numbers in Lincoln Riley's offense last year. The running back caught 9 whole passes. Travis Dye caught 41 last season and wasn't even the starter for the first 5 games. Like, it's not the same offense. It's not. And now he's in a room with Austin Jones is there from Stanford who transferred in. He's there with the kid, Relique Brown, the 5-star running back that USC just signed, who'll be on campus in August. I don't get it. I think there's some family things. He's from Southern California, wants to go back home, but he just threw away 4 years at Oregon. Like, 4 good years. 2 Pac-12 championships, a Rose Bowl win, to go to USC for 1 year.
Well,
I don't know. It's a good question of, and a good test case 4 years from now, look back and be like, does the transfer portal work? Is it work as intended? Is it as, is this the way it's supposed to be? Real quick on the transfer portal. I saw this today. This is from at Rivals Portal. 408 Power 5 portal players announced new schools since August 1st. That's not how many players are in the transfer portal. It's how many announced a new location, okay? Power 5, right? So the 5 top conferences, SEC, ACC, Big 10, Big 12, Pac-12. Okay, again, what percent do you think went to another Power 5 program?
I don't even know where you're going with this point, so I'm going to say 50%.
Close, 47%.
Okay.
Okay? And I imagine a lot of those guys are obviously high-end players, sure, right? 39% of those guys went to a Group of 5 program, so step down. 13.5 went to an FCS program, which used to be 1AA, and less than a tenth of a percent went to a D2 program. So these players aren't even transferring up a lot of times; they transfer down. I get it. It's where mobility and all that stuff, and I'm not against transfer portal. I just think players have got to think about everything that goes into this, and that's where we are with transfer portal.
All right. Well, I didn't mean to add this much time to the show, but now I have to ask. Jermaine Burton, an even crazier head scratcher, wins a national title at Georgia after beating Alabama and now is transferring to Alabama. He must think he has either a better chance at winning a title at Alabama than as a defending champ, or B, better draft odds after another year at Alabama, having passes thrown by Bryce. What's that one about?
Well, they're also too, I forgot to mention with the Travis Dye, which I don't think is the case with him, but there's obviously name and likeness, yeah, right? NIL deals. And I don't think that's why Travis Dye went to USC. It might be. I don't think it is. Yeah, that one's odd, right? To go to Georgia, to Alabama. Like, he might be one of the, if Alabama wins next year, he'll be one of the only players probably ever to win a championship on 2 separate teams, 2 straight years.
I mean, there's can't be any way possible that's been done in college. The guy who comes to mind who did it in the NFL, who you might have played with in college, LeGarrette Blount did it with the...
Oh, Chris Long did it too. He went Eagles, right, Eagles to Pats, right, both those back-to-back years. Yeah. There's been other guy. There's been a couple. No, Wisniewski did it on the Chiefs. He did Eagles, Chiefs, so that was a year in between. Yeah, not many guys have done the back-to-back years in different teams. How about that, man? Oh, I would love. I'd kill you at Super Bowl ring. Not going to happen, obviously.
Maybe as a coach one day, Jeff. It sounds like guys about your generation are starting to take over.
Oh yeah, yeah. There's a 0% chance. I can't give up this podcast. We make millions of dollars. I just can't do it.
I don't know what I would do without you, because you have unleashed a whole bunch of usually very polite and friendly Chiefs fans upon my mentions from time to time.
Why?
Yeah, well, because I like to retweet you and chat with, you know, with your fans, and every now and then I get some Chiefs guys telling me what's what. And then I've enjoyed it. And now I'm part of Chiefs Kingdom, I feel like, at least for another couple weeks.
But you're working with now someone who's even a bigger Chiefs homer, Nick Wright, than me.
That's true. I am. He is the biggest.
You're going to be full Chiefs
Kingdom.
Biggest
Chiefs homer there is. So, you know, my new bandwagon team is the Rams. I'm rooting for the Rams the whole way out. Me, Cooper Kupp, and my son, we're a big team now.
Did you see his IG live yesterday? Nick's IG live. It was so
just
funny.
Unhinged, smoking Black and Mild.
Just
for the record, there's nothing extra in those Black and Mild guys. Don't get it twisted. Nick just likes smoking Black and Mild tobacco. That's not something you can buy in California.
Black and Mild. The Black and Milds are their actual blunts.
No, normal people use those to roll blunts. Nick is not.
Oh, he's just having the Black and Mild. Are the wood tip ones or the regular
ones?
That's
a level of detail I don't know. I just can tell you when he's talking about Black and Milds, he's not smoking weed. That's not what's in there.
I thought it was a blunt. Nope. I didn't think it was a Black and Mild yesterday. Oh, good for Nick. Oh God, Black and Mild. Oh, he makes too much money to be smoking Black and Mild.
You like what you like, you know? I like drinking Budweiser and eating it Outback, man. Outback's a fancy meal for me. Give me that.
My wife loves
it's
Outback.
It's delicious.
Can I tell you one more thing before we go? So when I got in the NFL, I had to, we weigh in every Friday. And it's the wood tip, Black and Mild. Sweet. Good for Nick. Okay, so we had to weigh in every Friday. In the NFL, it depends, Thursday or Friday, depending on the team you're on. So for the combine, I played about 340 in college. It's about my good weight. It's what I was most of my NFL career, but I tried to cut a bunch of weight for the combine to weigh in lower. So I ran faster. I didn't run faster. So we're like 331 at the combine. When I got to the Panthers, they were like, I need you to weigh 330 each Thursday, which is not my natural weight. My natural weight is about 340, 345.
Okay.
So before weighing every Thursday night or whatever it was, my wife and I would go to Outback, and I thought I'm going to get the chicken wings. I mean, I'm 22 years old, no idea about nutrition. No idea. I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to get the wings. They're just chicken. Like, what's wrong with eating just chicken before weigh-ins? Come to find out, that's like the most caloried meal of like any chain restaurant in the country. The wings at Outback are like 3,000 calories. I ate that every night before weigh-ins. I wonder why I struggled to make weight. I didn't know any better,
Jeff. You didn't need to be a genius to know that eating chicken wings wasn't like a weight loss program.
I was on practice squad, buddy. I know it. I had no money, and I was young and dumb. Yeah.
Well, we all learn. We all learn.
Now I'm smart. Now I'm older and smarter. Maybe.
Yeah. Hopefully. Well, you better be, or the show title here makes absolutely no sense. So
that is very fair. All right, guys. Well, man. I speaking about a cigar, Black and Mild would have been nice last night after the Chiefs win.
Absolutely.
We are powered by the Varsity Podcast Network. We'll be back later this week. We'll give you a little preview of the Super Bowl, the divisional round. We will have our wagers. We'll have our favorite props. We had a bad weekend. Hope to make it up this next week, I should say. And we'll be back on Wednesday. Take care, guys.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.